much, choir, for coming and being with us tonight. I enjoyed your music. And I, as you were singing that I Am Redeemed, there's an old song that was just in my heart. It goes like this. I'm pressing on the upper way. Heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Oh, lift me up and let me stand. Faith on heaven, oh, tableland, a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher. One more time, come on. Oh, Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Some praise in this house tonight. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven, tableland, it's a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher. Oh, I'm a pressing on the upper way, new heights I'm gaining every day. I'm a praying as I overbound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Come on, choir, sing it. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven. A higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Come on, praise Him in this house tonight. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a bold taste of glory divine. Salvation purchased of God, born of His Spirit, lost in His blood. This is my story. This is my Savior all the day long. I don't do this too often, but I want you to sing this little chorus with me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Come on. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he. Can you lift your hands and sing it like you believe it? Yes, Jesus loves me. Come on, wave your hands toward heaven and say, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me. Sing it one more time. Sing, yes, he loves me. Jesus and I. I may have already sung this song this week, I don't know, but it's over there. Put a little soul music to it here. Well, hold to God. Changing hand. Hold to God, a changing hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God, a changing hand. All we gotta do is hold. Come on, let's give him some praise in his house tonight. Hallelujah. I mean, he's got a hold of his hand tonight. Say amen. Amen. Praise God. Good to see you in the house of God tonight. Thank you for being with us. Those that are watching by internet, thank you for being with us. Amen. We're going to have a little church tonight. I feel pretty good. I've been to the donut shop today. Sweets do something to me. Most folks, it wires them up. It knocks me out. So I got knocked out by a chocolate donut today just for a little bit, but I feel pretty good. I said, I feel pretty good. Turn around to the neighbor and say, my God, you look good for Wednesday night. Come on, tell him. All right, that's good enough. That's good enough. That's good enough. Thank you for being with us tonight. Let me introduce someone very quickly to you. I want Wanda to just stand for a moment. Sister Wanda Rhines. She's from Kannapolis, North Carolina. Dear friend Anita and I, her Anita and Wanda just got back from Israel a couple weeks ago, and they was in Romania just a few weeks prior to that. And Wanda is, her and her husband is passed, her husband's passed, but they have pastored Assembly of God churches all up north and in the state of North Carolina, West Virginia, and all up in here, and they've been she's been a blessing in our life. I want you to make her welcome tonight. Wanda come down from the Kannapolis area. Her sister has been in intensive care all this week. They have put a porty in for her to go on dialysis, kidney dialysis. But even after putting the porty in, she hadn't started kidney dialysis because her kidneys are starting to work because there's some folks praying. Amen. Hey, come on, we give the Lord some praise. He's a miracle working God in this house tonight. Amen. 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 Thank you again for allowing us to be part of this revival this week. It's been our honor to just sit down and fellowship with your pastor and Brother Ricky and others that we've got to fellowship with, come to know some new brothers and sisters in the Lord. As I shared with you the other night, being born deformed and messed up and all those things, I was the only child. And so I don't have any siblings. I know this is Siblings Week. And on Facebook, everybody's got their brothers and sisters. And boy, there's some ugly pictures on there, I'm telling you. I didn't see y'all, so I'm just talking about it. I said that's. I didn't have no sibling picture to put on there. So you're my siblings tonight. Amen. We're part of the family of God, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're my brother and my sister, and I want to encourage you tonight. The Bible tells us in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 12. Matthew 11, 12 says this, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, but the violent take it by, oh, y'all not with me tonight. Wait a minute. Let's start all over. Everybody stand up one more time. Everybody stand up. Come on, shake it off. Come on, shake it off. Come on, go ahead and get loosened up. No, I didn't just tell you to stand up. Shake it off. Come on. Be sure you get loose before you sit down. I'm feeling pretty good. All right, you can sit down now. All right, let's just start again. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, somebody say tonight. From the days of John the Baptist until this very night, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Oh, there you go. Something very unique about this, so I have found. I find some unique things as I study some and when I studied this message, and And I look at it, that Matthew being the first book in the New Testament and Revelation's been the last. If you flip the chapters and the verses, that was Matthew 11, 12. If you go to Revelation 12, 11, and it says, and they overcame him, the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. Amen? How many has got a testimony tonight of the greatness of God in your life? Amen? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. So with that said tonight, I want you to say these words. It's a fight. Come on, say it. Come on, say it. It's a fight. I'm going to preach to you tonight just a message that God gave me called I've Got to Get My Fight Back. I got to get my fight back. All right, gentlemen, if you'll put the first scriptures up in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. And the second verse, I believe it is there. And this is a letter that Paul is writing to Timothy. Paul, I don't know at this time if Paul was in prison or not. Possibly could have been. He wasn't in there because he'd shot somebody. Or because he robbed the bank. In this passage of Scripture, even if he was in prison, he was there for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he's writing this letter of encouragement to one of his disciples named Timothy. And he's writing it and he says unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, peace, and from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. We're not at the right place. Nope. Go back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, give me a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 is where I want to start. Give them just a minute. I apologize. I may have given it to them wrong. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. There you go. Writing this letter to Timothy, Paul writes a letter, and he basically writes it like this. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Somebody say amen. I want to modernize that verse just for a moment. I could picture in our time saying somewhat of this letter saying like this. Timothy, I've been to church with you some many times. I've seen you testify. I've heard you preach. I've heard you sing a special. I heard you play the music. I've heard all the good things that God has done in your life. But I'm going to tell you, Timothy, there's going to come times in your life that the enemy's going to come against you. Come on, somebody. Anybody want to have a little church in this room tonight? There's going to come a time that the enemy's wanting to come against you, will come against you with battles and storms in your life. And I just want to encourage you to fight the good fight of faith, never give up. Never, come on, say that with me, never give up. So he says, I'm just writing this little short letter to encourage you to keep the fight. Don't go weary in well-doing. Keep pressing on, even when you don't feel like pressing on. When you don't feel like believing and trusting God's going to move in the situation, son, you just keep on pressing on because I've been through it enough. I've been through it enough. I've seen enough things happen in my life that tells me that somewhere God's going to show up in your life. Amen. For a reference to that, it's in Hebrews the 12th chapter. It says, wherefore sin will come past about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Meaning that there's been many before us of our elders that has laid stones in our life, Brother Jerry, that told us of the battles and storms that they've been through, but God was faithful. And they're cheering us on tonight. I said they're cheering us on tonight. I said they're cheering us on tonight. I got a little red-headed mother shouting down the streets of gold tonight. And if she could say anything, she'd say, son, I want to encourage you to keep on serving God. I got a father that I believe is there rejoicing in the Lord. He don't have a stuttering problem no more. He can say very plainly, son, it's worth it all to be a child of God. You keep on pressing on. Wherefore sin will come pass about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. That ought to make us want to shout in this house tonight. So we have Paul trying to encourage Timothy, but we have many trying to encourage us. I stand before you tonight trying to encourage you. That no matter how bad it may seem today, it's going to be okay. Amen? Last night after I got in church, got out of church, And got back to the motorhome late last night at Weed, and I had a phone call of a precious young lady that we've only met about 3 months ago, who was saying that she had an automobile accident, and they thought that she may have had a brain bleed and was very concerned about a condition she was in. I tried to call the hospital late last night and couldn't get no information, and so today... I called that young lady and on her cell phone, and I got her. She answered the phone. She said, oh, Brother Kenny, she said, I'm at home. She said, thank God my life was spared. Everything is good. There's nothing wrong with me, nothing wrong with anybody in the wreck last night. It was a bad wreck, but thank God we come through. But this precious young lady has been through some hurts in her life, even hurts in church. Anybody know anything about that? She's been in hurts in her life, and many hurts and many reasons to be discouraged of not even trying. She's living in just a survival mode at the very moment. She has a child that needs a lot of help, and has to have her help daily, every moment of the day. And here she is young, got this child that's messed up. She's a single mom, and she's struggling, Brother Ricky, with just pressing on. Sometimes the weight has been heavy. And as I begin to speak to her today on the phone, I felt the unction of the Holy Ghost as I sat there in the chair talking through the cell phone. And I begin to say, Brandy, I'm going to tell you something. The hand of God is on your life, and the enemies of hell would love to take your life, just like he tried last night. But there's a God that's bigger than anything in the past. He's God bigger than anything in the present. And he wants to take you to higher heights than you've ever been. I tried to encourage her just to hold on. There's another thing I tried to encourage her with, Ricky. Don't settle where you're at. See, there's folks that get to levels in serving God, and that's as far as they go. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Praise God. That's good. That's good. That's one stone I preached about the other night. There's other stones of getting a deeper relationship with the Lord called sanctification. There's others that we believe is Pentecostal folks is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But we can settle, we can part right here and say, what he is what he is. It don't look like anything's going to change, and I don't see nothing in the future ever changing in my situation. And if we set up with that, that'll be where it ends up at. But there's another letter that Paul wrote, and it's in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. And it's a different letter. It's not only him encouraging Timothy, but he's basically saying this: my race is over. I'm fixing to go home. So I'm going ahead and making out my funeral arrangements. No, this ain't King James Version. This is Kenny Williamson's version at the moment. He said, I'm done at the funeral home now, and I'm making some notes, and I'm sending you one, because I want you to be the preacher at my homegoing celebration. He said, I don't know who will all be there. There may be a crowd, and there may be a few. But I want you to tell them something. Tell them, Timothy, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. But listen, Timothy, don't you dare stop there. Tell them it ain't only for me. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Somebody say amen. I believe tonight, ladies and gentlemen, by the signs of the time, the coming of the Lord is very soon. The coming of the Lord is very soon. The enemy's raging. If you don't believe it, just turn on the news tonight. When we're having to go against nations that will gas their people to death. Oh, let me preach a little while. When they will torture their people and dare you to do something about it. And the crazy thing about it, don't fall off the wagon with me tonight, but if you do, just get over it. The crazy thing about it, when somebody tries to do something about it, others get mad about it. How crazy is that? How crazy is it when you try to stand for the right, you try to do the right thing, and there's a battle raging? But see, I recognize tonight that we're not fighting our battle tonight. I want you to hear me and hear me well tonight, church. Our battle tonight is not Syria. Our battle tonight is not North Korea. Our battle tonight is not Russia, and it's not China. Our battle is not the Baptists or the Methodists. It's not our government. It's not our leaders. That ain't our battle tonight. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in the high places. There's a demonic warfare going on in the heavens, and the only ones that's going to conquer this battle is God's people. Somebody say amen. The only one to conquer this battle will be God's people. And it won't be but with guns. And it won't be with the military. And it won't be with the hands of man. It will be when God's people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, God said, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I'll heal their land. Somebody say amen. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. But see, this battle hasn't just begun. This is not a new thing. This is not a new thing. I said, this is not a new thing. This thing didn't happen in the last 100 years. This thing has been going on for thousands of years. It began when Satan was in heaven. And one day he got a little arrogant about him. He looked over to God and he said, you know, He's getting too much glory, and he said, I'd like to have some of that. Y'all feeling okay tonight? And he said, I'm going to rebel. I'm going to rise up. I'm going to receive some of this glory. I'm not going to allow him to have all the glory. But see, the God's already told us that he'd share his glory with nobody. So he rose up, he rebelled, and he was cast out of heaven. And a third of the angels went with him. Oh, I could get deep in this tonight because you got to remember that Satan was the praise and worship leader. The greatest, one of the greatest tools that the enemy has, listen to me, is music. Yeah, it's a controlling factor. I said it's a controlling factor. You listen to that hell music from all this demonic junk that they play these days. Just think about it. I'm very simple. Those ain't been here. I'm just very simple. But sometimes I just desired, I wish that, you know, I don't have a nice infinity like Brother Jerry does. And I'm giving him a hard time with this tonight because I'm still believing God to deal with this heart. No, I'm joking. So I got the old antenna radio. It's only got AM and FM and a cassette player still in that motorhome, by the way. It's so old. Have you ever went down the road and just desired to find something good on the radio? And you can't find nothing. Keep on going through there, and one thing you hear is, I just can't get much into that. Then you go to the next one and it says, they ask me, Hank, why do you drink? Why do you roll smoke? Yeah, that's all I know of that song. And it just goes on and goes on and you can't find nothing. You know, just a bunch of noise, bunch of racket. Nita, I'm going through that. You know, if I got 500 miles, I can scan that button for 500 miles. It goes through there 3,027 times before I get where I'm going. Nita gets mad and says, why don't you just cut that mess off? I'm trying to find something. Most of the time we don't find it, Ricky. Most of the time we don't find it. Because it's as though the enemy has taken, especially the music field, and infiltrated it with undercurrent messages. Oh, I'm going to get a little on the edge of the river tonight. You understand that there's underlying messages in some of this music that's telling folks to take their lives. To kill the parents? Oh, yeah. Just absolutely craziness. And if it ain't that, it's about committing adultery, fornication, endorsing everything in the world. And so that's where the music, that's just what the music does. Then life itself is so tough sometimes. Sin is so plentiful, so available, and it's so easy to fall into. And it's not only people that are born on the wrong side of the tracks, because in our society, it's quite often these days we hear about the next minister. Is this okay, Jerry? I hope it is. Quite often. And so what the enemy's done is tried to take the trust. Is there anybody real anymore? Has anybody got the goods anymore? You know, is that preacher just a blow in the wind, just like so-and-so was. You know, I really enjoyed that individual, but look what they end up doing. So I'm not going to trust no one. And I've even heard people over the years say, you know, I really had a lot of confidence in that preacher. And when he failed, it just did something to me that I cannot get trust back in another preacher. What a disgrace. What a disgrace. But the enemy's come and he's infiltrated us that we have come so twisted that the Bible speaks about it. That there come a time that we will accept evil to be good and good to be evil. And we have seen that. We've just seen it in this last election that just happened. I'm not getting one side of the night. I'm pulling for a side of the night. I'm just telling you, it began to be statements concerning Christianity that Christians are going to have to lay down what their beliefs are to accept homosexuality. Going to have to accept, and we've got preachers that believe that they've come up with an idea that they can have chrism. It means that those that worship Allah and we that worship Jesus on the same trail, we just go in a different direction. Oh, God, I knew I'm getting a little deep tonight. I've been funny the rest of the week. Tonight's going to be a little different. That we got so twisted that you can be anything you want to be, and we one day we'll all rejoice down the streets and go. That's not the truth. That's not what the word says. Somebody say amen. So we got this battle that's raging. Talked to another gentleman on the phone today. His daughter raised in church, helped him sing in church quite often. She's already been married twice. Still married at the moment, but I was in the service where her husband gave his life to the Lord back in September. Back in September, she's been praying that God would save her husband. And the crazy thing is, I was there and she was there. She was as close as you and I are from him when the Holy Ghost got a hold of that boy and God set him free and moved in his life. But she immediately, Jerry, said, "This ain't what I want. I'm going the other direction." And now she's seeing another man going to church with another man. And she feels like it's okay. Help me, Jesus. Brother, will you pray for me tonight? I need a lot of prayer. Don't can't you tell I need a lot of prayer? I'm digging a hole and it's going to be pretty hard to get back out. One lady told me last night, I was a comedian. Tonight, she's going to think I'm mean. But that's where we're at. We've accepted everything and everybody and every situation, and we still expect the Holy God to come down and fight our battles for us. It does not work. I said it does not work. I'm here to tell you tonight that the battle is raging. That's nothing new to you, but I'm going to tell you there is a God that's bigger than the battle. I want to illustrate something to you. I got my jumper back tonight. Come on up here. Hold on, man. I got to find you a opponent. Donut man. Come here, brother Donut. Tell me right over here. I'm joking. I'm giving you a hard time. Help me, Jesus. Some of you are going to relate to this. Some of you don't have a clue what I'm about to do. I don't know if you want to video this or not, Ricky. Yeah, be sure it's just a picture. They'll never let me in another church after I get through with this one. No more donuts neither, he told me. Shut down. It's Monday afternoon. You come in from work. You're tired. You sit down in the lazy boy. You get the remote. You're flipping through the channels. And all of a sudden, you see this big buff guy. Flex him up. Come on. You got to do better than that, donut man. Come on, flex him up. Flex him up. Show them what you got. Show these folks what you got. Here's Donut Man. Bad name for a fighter. Here he is. Y'all seen it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They're making promos for the fight Friday night. They're doing it to promote the fight, to sell tickets, because the more they promote it, the more they get sold, the more these men are going to make. And so he's here and he says, what's your name? Nathan, Friday night, I'm going to show you who your daddy is. That's what you said, wasn't it? And he blows in the wind all this kind of stuff. Just how bad he's going to tear Nathan apart Friday night. It all sounds good, man. He's buffed up. They sprayed baby oil all over him. He's shined up like Slick Willie. Right there, he's there. And I know this will be true. Neither of our friends, some of you older folk may remember Abdullah the Butcher. You ever remember Abdullah the Butcher, the black gentleman, big fighter? He's in Atlanta. Abdullah is a pretty good friend of ours, and we've been to his restaurant there and different things, and got some pictures with him daggering me in the head with a fork and different things. But besides that, you know, now Donut Man has told Nathan of how he's going to take him down Friday night. Soon as he gets through with that little blow in the wind, he just steps to the side because Nathan is just right there. They rode together over to the television station, matter of fact. I hope y'all ain't never put no money on this because it's rigged. And so now Nathan steps over here. Anything you want to tell him personally? He wants some donuts. Blueberry hose. And so he steps in the camera and he calls him by name and he says, I heard what you said. I heard what you said, but I want you to know that I've got the belt. You see the belt. Yep, yep. I got the belt. It shows that I'm the champion fighter. And I'm going to prove it to you Friday night. So every day you come home, every afternoon, you're flipping through there trying to find the news, trying to find your favorite show. All you see is these two slicked up willies. They're trying to promote this fight for Friday night. And now, Ricky, it's Friday night. Now go way over yonder, Nathan, over at that door. Now Friday night has came and all that television promotion's over with. The crowd has met at the Coliseum. They got music from hell playing. They got the fog machines shooting that fog all over the place. And all of a sudden, the master of ceremony comes to the microphone and says, ladies and gentlemen, and you're coming through the door. Don't have to go outside, but just stay inside. You're coming through the door and it says, all the way from metropolitan area, Wilson, North Carolina. Yeah. Mr. Donut Man, come on in here, act like you're happy to be here. Yeah. His team cheered him on. Ladies and gentlemen, Nathan the chiropractor. You got a pretty good ball in there. You got some folks straight, I believe. I'm not sure. And so now they're in here. The fight is about, the show is about to begin. And y'all thinking, where in the God's world is this preacher going tonight? I've heard some crazy things, but it's getting crazier by the night. That's what Jerry's thinking. And he thinks I'm going to get give him that infinity. It ain't no way. So now they're in here, and they have come over the ropes, and now they're in the ring. Y'all know what they do, don't you? What do they do? Well, we ain't going to fight right here. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not a fight. But come on, let's start jumping. Come on, come on, come on. Jump, jump, jump. Come on. Come on. Come on, donut man. Y'all quit. They quit. They have jumped around. But these folks did not come to see two men jump in a ring. They come to see a fight. They come to see some bloodshed. It ain't going to really be none, but they come to see some. So they jump just to rouse the crowd. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Are y'all roused up yet? He ain't hear no noise, Nathan said. Rouse the crowd up. And so, I'm sweating like a pig. Lady's shaking her head like you're a nut. And so now they can't continue that, so it's got to go in for a punch. And so they begin to punch off. We're not going to do that, fellas. Hold on. God's not in that. They begin to punch off, and eventually somebody gets a good hit. And let's just say Nathan takes the donut man to the floor. And so now, Jerry, on the floor. And it looks like Nathan is just absolutely letting Donut Man have it. What's really going on is they're speaking to each other. Donut Man said, listen, man, you let me up, I'll give you a dozen and a half of donuts. What kind was that you wanted? Blueberry hoes. I'll give you two dozen blueberry hoes. That ain't enough. Three dozen. They're negotiating this fight. And eventually, it plays through. Donut Man's up, and he wins. And Nathan gets his donut hose. And they both make some good money. No, don't take your belt off. Now, I know I've changed the whole atmosphere in this room. I know that. That's okay. I'm going somewhere with it. I'm about there. And that's just fun around. That gets everybody's attention. You know, that's a natural fight. You know, just a show is all it was. But the fight, thank you, gentlemen, the fight I'm talking about, give them a great big hand. The fight I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, it's not that kind of fight. It's not a rig fight. I said it's not a rig fight. It's a real fight. Somebody say a real fight. Come on, say it, a real fight. Come on, say it, a real fight. It's a real fight. So with that same scenario, here's what I believe. Crazy belief. I believe some crazy stuff, Jerry. You say, I know you.
I believe that December the 1st, or at the time I was conceived, let me just go back there, at the time that you were conceived, in your mother's womb, I believe that there was two agendas for your life. Now, I'm going to get serious because I believe God's going to move in some folks' life in this place today. I believe at the moment that you was conceived in your mother's womb, Ricky, I believe there was two agendas. I believe that the devil from hell stood in the television cameras of your life and said, Ricky Nims, you'll never be nobody. You'll never be successful. You'll never have anything. I'll take your hopes and I'll take your dreams. I'll take your finances. Jerry Nims, you'll never be successful. You're a failure. You'll never obtain the victories and the hopes and desires you want. Nathan, you'll never be anybody. And that taping consistently runs down through the years of our life. Every now and then we have a rerun of it. See, I told a story to this young lady today, and I didn't realize what was going on until she began to weep and cry. And she said, "You just don't know how much I needed to hear this today." This young girl I had to wreck. I shared my testimony the other night of good, loving parents. But when I started in the ministry, when I started traveling at 14 years old, at 1978, 14 years old, I started traveling across this country. I had a father that had worked a public job, retired from one, went to work for the state of Georgia, retired from the state of Georgia. He had a good retirement. He had been pretty successful, but he was a giver. He'd give it all away, give it to preachers. But when I started going to the ministry, my dad said to me, "Son, you need to get a real job. You need to get a real job. You need to be a man and make something of yourself. You need to be a provider for your family. You need to do the right thing." Oh, listen to me. It wasn't that my dad was putting me down. My dad was only speaking what he knew. He meant well in what he said, but those words, those little statements, when he would say, "You'll never have nothing in your life going the way that you're going." Oh, I've heard those words. I heard them say so long that I begin to believe some of those words. I went through some failures in my life. I went through some struggles in my life that I could hear it like on a sound system. Loud, "You'll never have anything. I told you, son, if you listen to me, you wouldn't be in the shape you're in." Anybody ever heard those kind of words? But on Mother's Day 2003, the day that my dad died, I had just visited less than 10 hours earlier, Anita and I, and I was leaving that Sunday morning to head to Wilmington, North Carolina for a start of meeting. I live in Dawsonville, Georgia. It's about 7.5 hours to Wilmington. And I was heading to Wilmington to do a meeting. And as I pulled out of the driveway that morning, the Holy Ghost said to me, "You need to go see your father one more time." I said, "No, I don't need to go see Daddy. I seen him less than 10 hours ago. I need to get to Wilmington." He said, "No, you need to go." So I said, I headed that direction. Wrong direction from where I was going, but I went to the nursing home. And when I got to the nursing home that day, I got out of my vehicle and I was walking towards the building. Last night my dad was okay, but when I was walking toward the building, I heard that same voice said, "This will be the last time you ever see your father alive." So I walked in that, I started down the hallway. I got about as close as me and you, Ricky, from his room, and I heard the death rattle in his breathing. And I panicked, Brother Jerry, and I ran to the nurse's desk. I said, "My dad is drowning in his own body fluids. I want somebody to get the fluid off of him now." And they said, "We can't do it without a doctor's permission." I said, "I'm standing right here till you call him." So they called him. They aroused my father back up. They got the fluid off of him good enough that he could respond. I fed him breakfast that morning. And for the next 3 hours, I stayed there. And that 3 hours, Nathan, God allowed some bridges to be mended in my father and I's relationship. And I heard my dad say something that I had never heard him say before in my life. I heard him say, son, I'm proud of you, what you're doing serving the Lord. He said, you keep on serving him and we'll see each other sometime real soon. I want to tell you, keep on serving Jesus. So it's the same thing that Paul said to Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. Hold on to eternal life. Wherewith thou art called to profess the good profession before men. But the same time that you were conceived and the enemy places that plot in your life, I'll take your hopes. I'll take your dreams. I'll take your joys. I'll take your victories. I believe at that very moment while he was in front of the camera pointing at that camera laughing at me and laughing at you, I believe Jesus kicked the door open. I said, I believe Jesus kicked the door open. He said, what are you doing, Satan? He said, I'm telling Kenny Williamson, I'm telling Ricky Dims, I'm telling Jerry Nelson, I'm telling Nathan, I'm telling Donut Man, I'm telling anyone in this room. I'm telling them that they won't never have joy in their life. He said, boy, you better get yourself out of here. Because I died on an old rugged cross. I died on an old rugged cross. That they can not only have life, but they can have it more abundantly. More abundantly. More abundantly. More abundantly. This is different tonight, but I'm going to tell you. This is real. This is real. Oh, I shared with you the other night. I think I have. I've shared so much already. Then me and Brother Jerry gets to talking. We get to sharing. My God, I don't know what I'm sharing. I got out of the car with him last night. I thought I'd heard all of him I needed to hear. I got to the motor home and opened the door and Anita Wanda said, we're watching the pastor on TV. I said, oh my God. I'm just having a little fun. I love you, Pastor. I love you, Jerry. I love you, Jerry. If I hadn't told you, I love you. Let me tell you one more story. And I'm through. This is how real it is. How long have we been going to New Beginnings now, Anita? 14 years. Anita and I are on pastoral staff of a ladies' rehab, drug rehab center in Toccoa, Georgia. That houses up to 90 women right at the moment. There's about 30 of their children that we've been able to get back through courts. But there's a young lady there that has been there now for a good little while. Her name is Karen. Karen was raised in church. Karen got involved with the youth group at church. Karen, Ricky, started hanging out with the youth group at church at places they should not have been. One being the cemetery. And they begin to tip over grave markers and do destructive things. And it went from that little fun gesture, they thought, to they got into dealing with Ouija boards. And it went from that till she got into satanic worship, along with the youth group at church. So it's not making you going to church will make you a saint. It's the blood of Jesus. But Karen's story is she got pregnant by a young boy and offered her newborn baby up in a satanic sacrifice. The quicker the better in satanic worship. As soon as that baby is born, the quicker they can do it, the better the sacrifice is. She served some time, pleaded insanity, got some legal issues going on there. And she, after she got out, or before she was able to get out and mingle, she started seeing a satanic priest. Now don't fall off the wagon with me. I'm telling you church stories tonight. She began to see a satanic priest, and she married that satanic priest, Ricky, and had a baby by him and sacrificed the second baby in satanic worship, and then killed her husband and nailed him on a cross upside down. I'm telling you about the plan of the enemy for people's lives. You think she has to be crazy. No, she is not. Are you hearing me tonight? I don't know why I'm talking. We may face a manifestation before this meeting's over with. I don't know. Because I know what I feel in my soul tonight. I'm telling you that you think that them have to be crazy folks. No, it just takes somebody that the devil gets a hold of their mind. Who's normal that would put a bomb on their back and walk into a crowd of people knowing that they're going to walk, they're going to die also, but they're not afraid to die? But we got people like that. That's the age of you and I. I know this ain't what we want to hear tonight. This man, I'm supposed to be swinging from them lights or somewhere or another, making you laugh. But I'm telling you, this is where we at. Karen murdered her husband, nailed him on a cross upside down. Went through some more time. I was at that facility, it's been about 3 years ago now, and I was preaching, and Karen jumped up. She jumped up out of her seat and was running down the aisle, shaking her arms. She said, "Kenny, Preacher Kenny, I'm on fire! I'm on fire! Preacher Kenny, help me! Help me, Preacher Kenny!" Ain't no time for no invitation on him. You know, if you got your song, let's sing the old rugged song. No, let's get down to business, get somebody delivered. I didn't plan this tonight, Jerry said, in my heart. She fell in the altar. People began to gather around her. Karen found some deliverance. You say, people like that can find deliverance? Absolutely. Absolutely. The blood of Jesus. I say the blood of Jesus is sufficient to the deepest, darkest sinner on the face of this earth tonight. She found some mercy and grace that night, and when Karen got up, I took Karen and Jerry over to the corner where there's a communion table. And I got the grape juice and the crackers. I said, "Karen, me and you are going to take communion together. Because the same blood that cleansed this old preacher boy is the same blood that just washed away every bit of that filthy, dark sin in your life. And I'm believing that you're leaving this room tonight a newborn creature in Jesus Christ. And I'm believing whom the Son sets free is free indeed." And tonight, just a few months ago, again, I was at one of the services praying for another woman. Here come Karen up beside of me. And she said to his, she said, "Cast that lust demon off of her, preacher. Cast that lust demon off of her." I'm thinking, my God, really? That's you, Karen? She got free. Yeah. Telling me to cast the lust demon off another woman. Yeah. You know, he said, "And you know you got it. Get it out." Yeah. I know this sounds crazy tonight. I know it sounds crazy. I'm telling you, I fell off the rocker tonight. But I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, as crazy as it is, the fight's still real. The fight is still real. The fight is still real. I've seen it in my own home, my own family, my own children. I know what it is to have a child strung out on drugs. I know what it is to have a gun involved and threaten to kill everybody in the room. And I know what it is to see the Holy Ghost of God pass by and set that captive individual free. Going to obey the Lord tonight as I close. As my brothers and sisters were singing, as my brothers and sisters were singing tonight, I sat right over there and I felt the war begin to start in this room. I felt the resistance of the demons of hell. Felt it, Jerry. I felt that resistance. Like the enemy said, this wall's not going down. But I've got good news for you tonight. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, any wall that's up in your life, the Holy Ghost of God can set you free in one moment in this room. I'm not afraid to face opposition. I'm not afraid of the favor of people. I'm not here for your favor. I'm here to obey God, to say, God, if there's folks that need deliverance, help me to be crazy enough to do whatever it takes to help those individuals find freedom for their soul. Because the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, as Brother Ricky comes to the piano, the fact is, every one of us in this room are going somewhere. The only way we get to heaven is through the freedom of the Holy Ghost, through the blood of Jesus. Other than that, you can sit in church 7 days a week and still be bound by religion, by homosexuality, by fornication, by lust, by addictions, and you can find yourself in a seat of deception saying, well, I'm as good as the next guy. I'm as good as the next guy, but it's not the next guy I need to be as good as. It's to be like Jesus. It's to walk in his victory, walk in his power. I don't know what's going to happen in this room in the next few moments. I don't have some hocus-pocus scheme up my sleeve that's going to create a scene or nothing. And I know this room tonight, while I've been speaking to some demons from hell. Jerry, I'm sorry if I'm wrong, you correct me. I've been speaking to some demons from hell in this room. I'm not calling an individual. But there's some demonic warfare in some folks' life that you need to be free. You need to be free. You need to be free. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I want you to remain seated. I want you to come stand. Very softly and very reverently, Brother Ricky just plays worship. You're standing in front of that television of your life, And you're going to make a choice. Whose report will I believe? Will I just accept the statement of the enemy that wants to take me down, destroy my life? Or will I want to reach out for that hand of hope called Jesus? The choice is in your hands tonight. Because by the power of the Holy Ghost in this room tonight, power of the Holy Ghost in this room tonight, you can be made free. You can be made free. You can be made free. I'm just going to pray just for a moment. Just going to pray just for a moment. Anita and I is here, and Brother Jerry and his wife, and anyone that wants to help us can come. You're in this room tonight, and you know that I've spoken into your spirit tonight. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to offer you a ray of hope. And I ask you right now, be man and woman enough to stand up, walk down the aisle, and come stand right here in front of me tonight. And I believe through the power of the Holy Ghost, you can find some. Just play me something. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've done my very best. Obey. I trust you, Father, that my words were the right words. But, Father, I pray now that you would do a work that only you can do. It's not this preacher or his wife that can do anything. But it is the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that can set a man or woman free. And I'm believing right now, Father. I'm believing right now, Father, that there's a hook being placed in someone's jaw tonight, pulling them towards you, Father.